Last time we began discussing the sugya of Ne'emanus Rofim, and we noted that the Tor is also present paper Truma, who has a suffix or a sarachian, whether you can rely on the representation of a medical professional, even if he's a mumcha, if it goes against a cheskas iser. And we noted that in a case where a woman doesn't have a cheskas iser, there's presumably more reason to rely on the medical professional. We noted the formulation of the smack that distinguishes, at least that there is a cheskas iser between a Jewish doctor and a non-Jewish doctor. And we noted Lagos Maimonios, who emphatically rejects reliance on a non-Jewish doctor because PMD Vershav, and they have no Ne'emanus. So there is a Gemara that is of relevance to this discussion, and that's the Gemara on the top of Kaf Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara has two parallel stories. Amar Blazer Vesadar, Shnei Masim Hela Abba Mitivin Lidna, Maisiv Isha Shaisam Apelos Kamin Kalipa Saduma, so a woman was expelling some kind of red casing. Uba v'shalu is Abba, v'Abba shalu chacham, v'cham v'shalu l'rofim. So yes, the shayla, it was bumped up to the chachamim bumped it up to the doctors. V'yamru lehem, the doctor said, isha zu maka yeshla v'soch me'aha, shemimenem apelas k'min klipos. The woman has a maka. Maka sounds like it's the source of this problem. Tati l'mayim, and she should put these klipos into water, in the muhu tmeya, if they're going to disintegrate or soften, then that's an indication that she's tmeya. And then parallel mice number two, isha shaisam apelos kamin sa'aras adumos, vavashalas abba, abash kamim, kamarofim, anglam shuma yeshla basof maya hashemana apelos kamin sa'aras adumos, same kind of test, tatulamayim in the muhu tmeya. So, there's a Chuvas Harash, Klal Beis Simin Yud Ches. Klal Beis Simin Yud Ches. Quotes this Gemara and asks the Kashali. Kaven Shabba Machmas Maka Amay Tmeya. So if the starting point is that we establish this Dan, the Rofim say it's Dan Maka, and then they recommend this test. So what's the need for the test if you have a representation that is Damaka? So if it's Kami Machmas Maka, then that in of itself should be an indication that she's Tahora. And that's the Rush's question that he doesn't answer. What's this two-layer system? On the one hand, the doctor said it's a Maka, so the Rush sounds like he's assuming there that the doctor's representation should be sufficient. If that's the case, what's the need for this further test? That's the Rashi's question in Tshuva that he doesn't answer. The Tosfei Rashi on the side of the Gemara does answer that question. Doesn't formulate the question the same way, but Tocha Dvarim, it's clear that that's what he's addressing in the Mefarshi Gemara. So says the Tosfei Rush, Hebrew Maskel Amru Ishizu Maki Yesha Vesof Me'aha. Lo Shahaya Barer Lerofim Shahaya Lamaki Vesof Me'ah. It's not that the doctors knew with clarity that she had a Maka. Din Kain Afilu Im Nimuchu Tahora. If it was the case that the doctors knew empirically, convincingly, unequivocally that there's a Maka, then that should be the end of the story. We know there's a Maka, the Dam is attributable to the Maka, the woman should be Tahora. And then the Gemara should have stopped there. He asked the doctor said, it's Min HaMakor, it's a Maka, the Maka of Me'ah, it's a Maka that's the source of the Dam, and the story. So what was the story here? El Amar HaRofim, Ulai Isha Zu Maki Yesh L'Vesof Me'ah. They were speculating that maybe there's a Maka that they couldn't prove. The Badek HaDover Ayidei Atalas Mayim. And this water test is a way of establishing what's the source of the Dam. Im Nimuchu Dam Yidahu, V'lova Machmas Maka, The second ma'isa as well. So they asked the doctors. The doctors said, maybe there's a maka. We don't know. We don't see it. If you want to know whether there's a maka, do this test, and that will indicate whether there's a maka or not. So that reading of the Gemara also, it accounts for the, it answers the kasha of the Tosa Rush, of the Shuvas Rush. But that indicates that fundamentally, if the doctors were to represent that there was a maka, and the dam is attributable to the maka, then that would be sufficient to base a psak on. And the case here is that the doctors didn't know, and they recommended this other test. And parenthetically, there's no... I don't think there's any indication whether the Rofim that we're talking about in the Gemara were Jewish Rofim or non-Jewish Rofim. Right? Any reason to believe that these are adapted? Could well assume they're Jewish Rofim, and this has no... no bearing on the question as to whether there's a distinction between Jewish Rofim and non-Jewish Rofim. But be that as it may, so the way to read the Gemara, especially with the Tosei Rosh, is that fundamentally we would accept the representation of the doctor, and the Maaseh Shoyi was the doctor said no, so they recommended the test. Yoni.
So I wasn't sure what the Cleveland was, so I looked at alhatorah.org to get a translation of it.
What's alhatorah.org?
It's like Sfaria, but better.
Okay.
Just in terms of layout. And
better or more from, or more...
better in that it shows you all the Rishonim with each section of Gemara that it's translating, and the translation is a more readable Hebrew transliteration as opposed to...
Transliteration or translation?
In this week's Parsha for Elo Ne'moreh, instead of saying the plains of whatever, it says Elo Ne'moreh.
That's very helpful.
It's great. It's phenomenal.
Because if you don't know
better.
What Elo Ne'moreh is, then you look it up and then you know.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Anyway, so I was looking up the English. They translate...
Kliepos is
Kliepos? So that part is Kliepos, but afterwards, when it says to do the test, instead of saying that it's like Sepharia, that or like our scroll, that there's a bold and an unbold.
Okay.
In the unbold, it says that the Chacham told the woman to throw the stuff into... The chum that asked the rofim are the ones that told the woman to throw it into the water. I mean, Tosfos Yerush assumes that the doctors tell her. Why do the doctors tell her? Because they're not sure. But they translate it as the chum told her to throw it in despite what the doctors said. The doctors say it's a maka. The doctors say it's a maka.
But then there's a missing amru.
100%. I mean, the Gemara could have said Shema if it wanted to be, you know, for the doctors, if it wanted to be like the Tosfei Arash. Right? So it's also missing a translated word. Yeah.
Is any Rishonim that way?
I couldn't find one when I looked, but that's how
they... If I would go with the Rishonim over Al...
I would also go with the Rishonim. I just thought it was interesting that they translated like that, because if you think that you can't rely on a doctor, this is a much better reading of the Gemara. Again, if you're convinced that you can't rely on doctors...
What does the Masifta say?
I didn't get past Al HaTorah. I just thought it was cool, and then I didn't see anything. I don't know where you got it from.
Let me know if you find anyone of more
authority.
That reads it right away. But okay, for now we'll go with what I think is a simple reading of Gemara. Rav Avner points out, Shira Shevet Levi, that this reading of Tosei Rosh seems to be against a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer that the Piskei Tshuva quotes in Sifkat and Lamed, and the later Achronim give credence to, not all 100% hook, line, and sinker, but the Chasam Sofer taken seriously by the later Achronim. Let's just see it in the Piskei Tshuva, because that at least you should have in front of you. In Sifkat and Lamed, Kuf Zayin, Sifkat and Lamed, the Chasam Sofer is Simen Kuf Nun Ches in Yeridaya. So the Pesukei Teshuva quotes, it's in the brackets a few lines in. Teshuvas Chasson Sofer, he quotes multiple Teshuvas, but the one that I saw as Kuf Nun Ches, where it's, and then the first time he says it in very directly, Avisham Hela Delo Haminu Lerofim Al Guf Yadua Lomar Guvze Makil Shumos Usaaras. The ne'emanus that we afford Rofim is not that we believe them to identify that in this instance this woman has this presentation. Ki ein Rofim ne'emanim al guf yadua chutz le'inyan pikuach nefesh lasos oso safik pikuach nefesh v'dochik iser misveka. So to represent that this woman has this maka, or this woman has this medical situation, medical condition, in and of itself, we don't believe a doctor to say that. And the fact that we rely on doctors for achil and yom kippur, for pikuach nefesh, that's because that's pikuach nefesh, and there's a lower threshold of what concerns us, or high threshold, depending on where you're looking at, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, and any suffix pikuach nefesh we have to take into consideration. But to establish something b'vados, that we don't believe doctors to comment on a guf yadua. So what do we believe to say? Acheminu chazal b'chlal hateva l'ha'id sheyesh mitzius ba'olam Shetapil Isha Shuma Usa'aras. We believe doctors to say that there's such a condition in the world that a woman could be Mapela Shuma Usa'aras. The Kevan Shazehu Bimitsius. And then, based on that, we can use this test. And based on that, we can say, Kol Isha Shetapil Shuma Usa'aras Tatil Amayim. The Elav Edus Harofim Lo Yusomchem Al Bidikazim. That the only reason that we view this test as being helpful is the fact that the test is coming to establish a reality that the doctors tell us exists. So we can rely on the doctors to tell us that this condition exists, but we can't rely on them to tell us that this specific woman has this specific condition. But if there is an objective test that we can administer that will establish that, then we can then rely on that test. So the Tosei Rush, the way we read it, assumes that if a doctor were to tell you that there is this woman has a maka, then that's enough to rely on. Chazon's over saying that no, saying that the woman has a maka isn't sufficient. We only believe the doctors to say that there's such a thing as a maka, and if you can then establish empirically that the maka exists in this woman, you can be told on that maka. Yeah.
Isn't that really kind of like Yogi's read? Meaning that the
no, because it's not that the...
It's not the doctor you even said. The doctor was...
No, the doctors are recommending this test, and Chazal will... the doctors say this test will prove whether there's a maka or not.
Because then the doctor would have been misogynistic also, no? The doctor himself, him or herself would have been misafik and then said do the test, but Chas himself is basically saying the doctor was vadai and we can't rely on that, so we should do this test anyway. No?
The doctor is saying...
Otherwise it wouldn't be a co-test.
No, it could even be that the doctor was... The lashon of the Chasson Sofer inside is ilav harofim, if not for the fact that the doctors would tell you there is such a condition, afil hinichu b'mayim v'lo nimuchu hayatame. Ach basher she'idu, I skipped a little bit. Ach basher she'idu harofim. Ishazu mako shuma yeshla. So the doctor said, this woman has a maka. But the Tosafot says, this woman, the doctor said, we don't know if the woman has a maka. Chazon Sofer says, doctor said, this woman has a maka, but we don't believe them to say that there's a maka. Nihidala ma'aminam lehem al isha yidua, rakmaisa shahaya kachaya, sheshalu isha yidua. Yikalmakam neidim yizeh, davar klali, sheyesh ba'ola, mitziyas jiyah lamako shuma b'mei ayim, sheymenatapo tsuros elu. Alkein kol pam she nati lamayim aloni mucha talam b'matzoi, sheyoser matzoi mimako v'shuma, etc. But so you're saying in that read, where did the Chachamim come up with such a test from? I presume that was. So you're saying like this. You're saying if it was the doctors are saying there's death. That's basically Tosafot Rashi, the Tshuva of Rashi's Kasha. The Tshuva of Rashi's Kasha is the doctor said that there's a makkah. So if there's a makkah, what do you need the test for? So the Or HaTorah, Alatorah?
Alator.
The Alator is answering, no, you have to read the Gemara differently. The doctor said it's definitely a maka. And that's then they're done. But the Chachamim said you make the test. And that answers the kasha of the Tshuva Sarash. So the Tshuva Sarash didn't give that answer. And the Tosafot Rashi didn't learn the Gemara that way. But say according to the Chazon Sofer, no, so I would have said according to the Chazon Sofer, the doctor said it's definitely a maka. And if you want to prove that, then this is a way of proving that.
And it's Chazon Sofer
would say, I'm sorry?
It's not a proof that we should rely on the doctor, though, right? Or is that Chazon Sofer saying that by himself?
Chazon Sofer is saying, you don't see from this Gemara that there's no right from this Gemara that we do rely on doctors. And then his read of the Gemara is that we wouldn't be relying on the doctor alone. It's only when the doctor tells you there's such a mitzias ba'olam, then the test could corroborate that. So I would have read the Gemara, even according to the Chazon Sofer, the doctor say she has a maka. And do this test, and that'll prove that that there's a maka.
Does the Chazon Sofer, does anyone explain why not believe the doctors? We think they're lying, we think they're making a mistake. Like, what's the issue over here?
So it sounds like we're... Let me rephrase your question. In a case where the woman has a cheskas tumah, so then we understand the potential reluctance to rely on a doctor's representation is that that may not be enough to overcome the halakhic chazaka. So even if the doctor, like the formulation of the Sefer Truma, even if the doctor is a mumcha and he's a Yirei Shemayim, but the information that he can provide doesn't necessarily override a test system. But you're saying in the case of the Gemara in Kaf Beis, the woman presumably was the Cheskas Tahora. Before she started being my Pelosi's klipas adumos. So here, if there's a cheskas tara, then why should the, if we're talking about a doctor who is a mumcha in Yirei Shemayim, then why shouldn't we rely on that representation to be mom of the woman on her cheskas tara? Unless we're what the Chazon Sofer is saying, I mean, we'll see a little bit later that, and we see Ramosha's tshuva, the Ramosha doesn't think the Chazon Sofer means to be as sweeping as it sounds. So, at least in light of the Gemara in Daf Kaf Beis, the Gemara doesn't sound like, however you read it, that these doctors were doing a gynecological exam, right? It sounds like the woman had the shayla, she came to the Rav, asked the Chachamim, the Chachamim didn't know, they asked the doctors, right? It's not that they went to a doctor and the doctor examined the woman, they went to the doctors, and the doctor said that this woman has a makkah. There's a certain attraction to the Tosei Rosh's approach there, that the doctors weren't suggesting that this woman definitely has a makkah because they didn't see her. They're talking in the abstract. And that's what the... So at least for the Chazon Sofer, all you see from this Gemara is that you wouldn't rely on a doctor's abstract representation to pass on this specific woman, but it could be the Chazon Sofer would agree, this is what Ramosha, I think, says, we'll get to a little bit later, that if you have a doctor that actually examines this woman and actually finds a makkah, you could rely on that doctor's representation. It's not that there's a... There's no situation in which you can rely on the doctor's representation about this woman. So just by open klali, if absent a clear examination where, you know, whatever factors we'll talk about is in Umen Lamar Abnase, and we have firm reason to believe the doctor as you're representing what he's seeing here, so absent that, we would only rely on their general representation about conditions and not to say that this woman has this condition in a vacuum, maybe. Okay.
If the doctor is the one who is telling us that this test works, then isn't relying upon this test relying upon the doctors?
So again, for the Chazon Sofer, that's part of the same Olfen Klali. We rely on the doctors to say that this condition exists, and we rely on the doctors to say that this test can test this condition. But we have to do our own administration of the test to establish that the woman is Torah.
He says, if not for the nemnos of the doctor, we would not have relied upon the test alone.
If not for the fact that the doctors told us that such a condition exists, and then this test would test for that condition, then we wouldn't rely on the test alone. The test would kind of be meaningless without that knowledge that this condition exists and the test is testing of that condition. That's what the Chazon Sofer is saying.
It's not like the test could exist independent of the doctor, though.
The test would be worthless without having some knowledge that the test is going to test for something that would be helpful. Okay.
Here's a Menachem Shita.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quoted in the Pirkei Kahuna.
Who's the Pirkei Kahuna?
Exactly.
He's the great grandson of the Ala Torah.
He quotes the Maram Lublin in a tshuva.
Kuf Yud Beis?
Kuf Yud Aleph.
Yeah.
He says, Tiretz L'Kushit HaRosh HaNizkar Le'elta Rofim Lo'omu Sheklibos He Machmas Dam Rak He Beri B'fnei Asma Machmas Hamaka Oh Hashuma V'Chacham And Ratu Limchon Im HaMS Atem Uvadko Osam Ayidei Shriya. Right, in other words,
the doctor said we're clear.
Exactly, it's Maka.
Right.
The Chacham Ratu Limchon is it true? So they tested it.
And the Chacham knew this test on their own without the doctors.
Exactly.
Okay. Shkoch. Maran Lublin Kuf Yud Aleph.
Kuf Yud Aleph.
Okay. I saw in Klisheni that the later Svarim quoted that Maran Lublin is being bothered by the Tosar by the Chuvat Rashi Kasha. I didn't look at it inside. Okay, good. So he says that the answer. Are you looking at the Maran Lublin inside or?
No, that was just the Pirkei Kahuna, and I'm trying to figure out who he is to see if he's on.
Well, you just look at the Maran Lublin. You don't have to take his word for it.
That's also true. I was just looking to see if I could find who he is.
Uh-huh. You take a look at the Shuvat Maran Lublin, and see if, I mean, that would answer the Tosas, the Shuvat Rashi's
right.
question. So I presume that's why he says it. Okay, but both Rav Osner and the Sulsi Ramosha somewhat limit the Chasson Sofer. Maybe that's you have to say the Chasson Sofer. To say the Chasson Sofer wouldn't deny that you could rely on a doctor's representation where the doctor does an examination and you have the Umin Larmanase factor. That the Chassam wouldn't deny that you could rely on a doctor in that kind of a case. He's talking more both than both and Chloe. So in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Ches, Mechaber writes, in Tirza Lehitzrapos, Sarach Sheyia Kodem Shetischazek. So if a woman who is Roa Machmas Tashmish is going to try some refuah, that's only going to help her if it's before she's muhzekes, as Rav Nachman Tashmish. Then it'll definitely help. Aval yarchesh et tischazek, yesh mistakim and mutter lismoch al harifua l'shamish afrika. So first, yesh mistakim, whether you can rely on that refua to revert to a status of heter tashmish. The Yesh mi shematir im amr la rofe Yisrael nisrapes. And the Yesh mi shematir, that was the Hagos Maimonides that distinguished between a Yisrael and an Akum. If you have a Jewish doctor that tells her that she's cured, the Imtira ha'isha shapasik dam vesta v'riyas ha'idei harifuos v'nikr sho'ilu yesh lismuch al afal obikavim. And if, that's the Hemshek of the Hagos Maimonides, if the woman stop seeing dam as part of her vest, and that's an indication that the refuah works, so then you could go back and rely on that refuah, even if it was administered by an akum. So you have here a yesh mistafkim about the ne'emanus of a doctor's in this case, and then you have a yesh mishamatir if it's a rofe Yisrael. So the first yesh misapkin is more tenuous, and maybe we don't rely on anything. Yesh mishamatir if it's a rofe Yisrael. Take a look at the Dilya Marashar, Shlomo Eger, quotes, the mashmah didea echad ikar, umir yesh lomar, Bishnayim Somkum Aleim Dilaecha Kashina Dharma Bididami. We'll get back to that. And maybe if you have two doctors, that's better than one. And this is from the Shvus Yaakov. So he quotes his Chuvus Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph, Simen Samechei, that the Ikir is like the first day, which is Lechumra, that the Stam, or the default position would be Lechumra, that we don't rely on doctors. That's what the Badi Yisholchan thinks is the Ikir Lalacha. And Rav Avadya writes, page Reish Nantes, that no, this is a Yesh Omim v'Yesh Omim. It's not literally Yesh Omim v'Yesh Omim, it's Yesh Mistakim and Yesh Mishamatir, but essentially that's a Yesh Omim v'Yesh Omim. And Klali Apsak of Maran HaMechaber, Yesh Omim v'Yesh Omim, Alacha ki Yesh Omim Basra. And therefore, if you have a Rofe Yisrael, then you could rely on the Jewish doctor's representation. Rav Avadya then quotes from Shlomo Kluger, another Achronim, and this is what all the Sfarim quote, that we talk about a Rofe Yisrael, it means a Rofe Yisrael who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, not a Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesya. Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesya, as far as Naman is concerned, is like an Achri. He quotes that from Shlomo Kluger, he quotes that from a Marsham, and that seems to be the, to the extent that we'll distinguish between an Achram and a Yisrael. That seems to be the Psak and the Kubal, that you treat a Mechal Shabbos like an Akkad. I saw in the Shulchan Shlomo, they quote that someone wants to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman a question related to contraception, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you have to ask the doctor, whatever the detail was. So the person said, I already asked the doctor. So Rav Shlomo said, is the doctor, Rav Shlomo Zalman asked, is the doctor Shor Torah Mitzvos? And the person said, no, he's traditional, but deferential to religion. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman asked, is he from Eidot Mizrach? And the person said, yes. So a traditional Sephardi for Rav Shlomo Zalman was sufficient to rely on, as opposed to an Ashkenazi. But be that as it may, that's what the later Sfarim quote, that some of them presented is, well, nowadays, all of our Jewish doctors are Mechal Shabbos for Hesya, and therefore, there's not much to go on. Okay. Darkei Tshuva, the Munkacher, and Sifkaf and Sadi Tess, quotes from the Sefer Levanon Nata, that when it comes to a medical treatment that's already been Huchzak, so not just that it's chutzak in this woman, but in general it's chutzak. So at least the makom igun of Rome Achmas Tashmish, or where a woman can't become tahor otherwise, so then you could rely even on a nachri. Now the second point that we just saw on the Shvus Yaakov, Rav Avadya quotes something similar from Shlomo Kluger, that even according to the Sefer Truma, Sefer Truma was the day that we started with, who's mistapeg, in a case we have a woman that's a cheska sisser, can a rofa mumcha Yisrael override the refua affected by a rofa mumcha, can that override the cheska sisser of the woman? So why not? Because Eid Echad isn't believed as a negative chazik Yisura. So some of the Achronim say that, okay, that's Eid Echad, but if you have two doctors, and they both say the same thing, so it's no longer Eid Echad negative Chazak Yisura, it's now two Eid. And Rav Avadya quotes from Shlomo Kluger that the Tzad Lekula in the Sefer Truma was, even if in general Eid Echad is a nema negative chazik yisura, but maybe the professional representation of a doctor is stronger than a regular eid echad, because he's representing empirically objective reality. But so maybe that's a side that you would rely on a doctor, even though it should have only been an eid echad. But again, if you have two doctors and two Jewish doctors, then that should be good according to everyone. So even if you're reluctant to uproot a cheska sisser on the representation of one doctor, always good to get a second medical opinion. And if you have two medical opinions, then that puts you in a better position. One more comment of the Marsham on the Mechal Shabbos front. So in Chelek Aleph Simi Yud Gimel, the Marsham writes that even though in principle we should only afford Ne'amanus to Jewish doctors and only Jewish doctors that are Shomrei Torah Mitzvot on the Mechal Shabbos or for Hesia, but if you have two Mechal Shabbos doctors, and they represent what they're saying, Zeh Shelo B'Pnei Zeh, together with Umam Amar Nasei, together with a case where you have a Reglein L'Dover that what they're saying is correct, so you put all of that together, two doctors, Zeh Shelo B'Pnei Zeh, Umam Amar Nasei, and Reglein L'Dover, then at least if you're stuck, there's what to rely on there as well.
This is just by refuah, meaning if they're actually doing an examination, then again, for Moshe holds
it. Yeah, so we'll get to Moshe in a minute. But yeah, let's get to Moshe in a minute. So what's the bottom line? So Rav Avadia assumes, he has a few pages of this in the Taras Abayis, but he assumes that nowadays where medicine is a lot more formal, the practice of medicine is a lot more formalized, and we're not talking just in the context of Damaka, but in the broader context of where we need to rely, at least in the world of Taras HaMishrocha, you need to rely on medical representation to determine if there's a damaka, to determine, as we'll talk about next time, whether there's a psychosakever with a medical procedure that could make a woman tonight even without dam, and other the existence of other conditions that could affect Tara. So Ravadia writes that since nowadays medicine is a lot more formal, the practice of medicine is a lot more formal, there are objective tests that are administered, objective procedures, tests, etc., records. So there's a stronger umam lamarum nasei than there used to be. And there's a stronger milsa davide lagluye kind of orientation than there used to be as well. And one could definitely distinguish between different types of representation in that regard, meaning if a doctor is performing a procedure and then there is a clear paper trail of that procedure, or you're performing some kind of sonogram or something where there'll be a read that is in the file that anyone else can look at and read the same way or have access to. So that's presumably a stronger umen lamar nasei than if you ask the doctor, was there a... is the blood that just came out uterine blood or not, or where does it come from, or was there a maka? So maka could be there now and could not be there in 2 hours from now. There's a lot more subjectivity about those kinds of representations than if there's a clear test with a clear paper trail. So one could distinguish on the umen lamar nasei front between different kinds of questions for doctors. But both in Klali, Rav Avadia presents it as nowadays there's a much stronger umel amar nasei, so that could potentially allow you to rely even on a non-Jewish doctor. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelek Beis, and then he expands on this in his tshuva Rabbi Eider. Chelek Beis Simen Samach Tes. Bidvar hamei nekes shirasa ma'at dam. So you have a nursing woman who sees a little bit of dam. And before, so she's Tamei Labaila, and before she begins counting her Shivanakiyim, she has to go to a doctor for a some kind of test, where something is inserted, Bipromsar, in the cervical area, in order to address some Pitzaim that are still there from her labor, from childbirth. And the doctor tells her that she's definitely going to see Dan as a result of this minimally invasive procedure in 10 days' time. And that Dan, don't worry, is going to be cervical blood and not uterine blood. So the woman has this procedure. She doesn't see any Dan then. She does a hefsekara. She does bedika on day one, does bedika on day two. And then she doesn't do any more bedikas until day seven. And then on day seven, she has Dam again. And then she continues having Dam for 8 days later. It says to Moshe, even though in principle we might accept the custom so far, that a doctor is not believed to talk about this particular woman, just both in Kali, about the existence of certain conditions. But over here, you can believe the doctor because he's a proven Navi. The doctor said that she's going to see Dan 10 days later, and lo and behold, she saw Dan 10 days later. He says you have to make sure that you understand from the doctor, when the doctor said this is cervical blood and not uterine blood, that that's really the case. Because maybe the doctor has a different definition of these terms than halacha does. Maybe when he says it's cervical blood, he doesn't mean it's not uterine blood, he means it's not normal menstrual blood. But if you establish that we're in agreement on terms, then he thinks that even according to the Chasam Sofer, this doctor has proven himself sufficiently to rely on for this woman. Rabbi Eider asked Moshe to explain what the gather was here, what was Moshe's position on what we believe when. It's just because the doctor said that she'll see Dam in 10 days and she sees Dam in 10 days, how does that give full name on us? So Moshe writes, this is Tshuva Yud Zayin to Rabbi Eider, referencing the Tshuva in Chayil Beis. So he says, it's true that he wrote in this case where the doctor says that she'll see Dan in 10 days, and he was right on the mark. And once we believe, once you see that he's on the mark, so Edith She Kima Miksaso Kima Kula, then you can believe him that it's Dam and a Prozder as well, as long as the terms are clear. Ramosha says, but he doesn't address in the Tshuva, says Ramosha, the Etzem, the Emunus of the doctor, in a case of a Safik Maka. Aval Emes Adina Mestaber, as you, Rabbi Eider, wrote, that you thought that you heard from me, that you can rely on the representation of a doctor, even according to the Chasam Sofer. Yesh lisma chalachanas a rofe, da afshe ein a rofe naman kishomer al guf prati, nikol makom vaday safik have, vishil dvarav, nidachazinan shenaman inyan chil shabbos. So, even if you don't rely on the doctor fully, it at least creates a suffix. If it didn't create a suffix, you wouldn't rely on the doctor for Pikuach Nefesh or Achila B'Yom Kippur either. And since it's not such a chiddush that a mak is going to be motzi dam, and it's normal that medical procedures are going to cause Dam to come out, so it sounds like he's saying that's enough of a reglai in the davar All the ingredients are in place, so what the doctor's saying makes sense. So we'll rely on the doctor here to say what the source of the blood is, and if this is a matka mutsiada. Aval yesh lechale, dele inyan shem matka mutsiada, yesh lamino gam besvara. So if you know there's a matka and you just need the doctor to tell you that that matka is mutsiadam, that makes a lot of sense. Uli inyan sheyesh hamaka im omer zeh b'svar ba'alma kasha l'amina. But to say that there's a maka, if you're just saying that b'svara without a full examination, that's harder to believe. Meaning if you know there's a maka and he's telling you that his medical assessment is that this maka is motzi adam, even if he doesn't see the dam coming out, that might be sufficient to rely, as opposed to making an assessment that there's a maka even if he doesn't see the maka. And he says there you have to distinguish between the quality of doctors. Kishaomer Sharoa Mamish Aide Masha Hishkif Shah. That if he says he put in a speculum, is able to see that there's dam there, that there's a maka there. So then Naman, Afshasam Inchilo Yirukum, to whom he shum de Ayodin e Sarafliyas, the aim of Vinashiesham Shina. So if you're not a medical professional and you look in, you're not gonna know what you're seeing, so we don't believe you, but if the doctor has a speculum and looks in and sees where the dam is, and there's a maka there, so then we would believe him. The rovim she yodin eif sarachlios for rovim eif shebezu ikashinu yvein memara yvein ovi amakom who iyapshut elefeim v'yesh laminam lo rak kishen shomrei Torah alafilu kishenam shomrei Torah afilu nachrin delo niri umnasayim. So if a doctor who's properly trained and does an examination and tells you that there's a maka there, that's Motzi Adam, so then Ramosha says you have a sufficient Uman Lamarim Nasayu that you can rely on that representation even by a Nachri. But this is somewhat challenging to figure out exactly where you have Uman Lamarim Nasayu, these kinds of representations. I'll just read you a little bit of what Rabbi Forth writes on this topic in Volume 1, beginning on page 436. In terms of the skepticism that one might have about a non-Jew or non-observant Jew, even a non-observant Jew, however honest and trustworthy he may be, cannot appreciate the enormous import of the information he provides. He may, out of the goodness of his heart, anticipate the desire of a woman not to become Tameya, and wish to assure her that a blood flow is not menstrual blood. This halachic concern is countered by the fact that halacha views a physician as a medical expert with high professional standards, who would not risk his reputation by providing inaccurate information. So that's the tension. He writes, one generally needs information from the physician regarding whether or not an instrument was used, the type and width of the instrument, if used, the frequency of bleeding following such a procedure, the source of the bleeding, and whether the doctor visually verified the source of the bleeding. One may not rely solely upon the physician's impression that the blood is not uterine in origin. That's kind of like what we saw in Ramosha. You have to know the terms that you're using. In all cases, one must discuss a matter with the Rav and inform him whether or not the physician is an observant Jew. If necessary, the Rav will discuss the matter with the physician and will provide him with more detailed information. The relationship between a Rav and a physician is that of two professionals. Fine. There are several advantages in using an observant Jew as one's gynecologist, and obvious advantages of using a female observant Jew. If the physician is Torah observant, the problems of Nemanus are avoided. Torah observant physician will be more accessible, more cooperative with the Rav, can more easily empathize with the problems of a woman with staining problems. He's aware of the emotional strain that prolonged and frequent eating status place upon a Torah observant couple. The non-observant physician may not fully grasp why his observant patients, quote-unquote, pester him with seemingly trivial questions about minute blood specks and stains. So there's definitely a preference when there is a need for medical input to have a from physician, and where that's not possible, so that's there are many factors that need to go into that analysis, and in consultation with someone with expertise in the halacha as to what questions to ask and how to assess the whole picture.
What's the difference between men and women?
Is there any difference between
a male doctor and a female doctor?
Not in terms of nemanus, but there's difference in terms of propriety. Okay. Now, the related topic, or subtopic, is actual assessments of the existence of a maka. And there are two elements of this question. So we saw in the Gemara that fundamentally, nemenes isha lomar maki isha b'samakam, right? That a woman herself has ne'emanus to represent that there's an existing makam. Tshuvah Shev Yaakov already. Shev Yaakov is, I think we pointed out in the past, is a contemporary of the Shvus Yaakov. Both of them were in Prague at some point. So Shev Yaakov in Simon Mem Beis, Sidri Tara quotes in Sivkatan Yud Beis. So Shev Yaakov writes that in practice, a woman doesn't have nemanus to say that she has a maka, because that's something which is verifiable. That we don't just rely on the representation of a woman to say that she has a maka, because there's a way of verifying objectively through some other examination whether that maka exists. Jumping a few centuries forward, Rav Ozner writes Chelak Hei Simen Kuf Hei, Chelak Hei Simen Kuf Hei, that even though in principle, Medina de Gemara, it sounds like a woman has nemanus to represent if she has a maka, and we have the notion of Bedika Shafera sometimes, which we'll talk about. But he writes that nowadays, where it's easy to have an objective medical assessment or medical examination as to whether there's a maka, so you can't just rely on a woman who feels that she has a maka. He doesn't write this out, but also you kind of get the impression that just as we don't have the hargashos that maybe existed centuries or millennia ago, that women are less attuned to what's going on in their bodies, especially if you have the Ramosha or Akal Shulchan approach to how do you have hargasha b'zman hazeh, that PM Hevel PM that the women definitely have hargashas. They just don't know that they have hargashas of psichas PM Makor. They kind of get the impression that here also a woman millennia ago would have more of a sensitivity as to what's going on in her body somehow, and could feel whether there's a makom or not in a way that we don't we're not able to anymore. Yeah.
Like,
so let me just finish one thing. But so anyway, Rav Ozner writes, so nowadays we have easy ways of examining whether there is a maka or not, then you can't just rely on the woman who says, maki ishli bosa makom. And then that also creates a potential chumrah that if you check it and then you don't find anything, then you definitely have no right to rely on a on her representation. Rabbi Morgenstern also quotes from Avliyashiv, Perek Yud Zayin, footnote Ches, the same thing. But he also quotes from Avliyashiv. That even what we saw in Sif Zayin from the Piskei Ma'arai, that there may be situations where there's a indication that there's a maka producing dam based on where the dam presents itself on the Bedikah cloth. He quotes from Yashiv, you can't rely on that alone either. You need to have firm knowledge from an examination that there is a that there is a maka. Sometimes women may think they have a maka, and there's no maka. Yeah, Asher.
In terms of the examinations, like mm-hmm. the professor was saying that it's like we can do it and it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like practically, is it easy? Is it something that's like difficult for the woman?
So that we'll get to right now, in fact. Traditionally, before, let's say, the last few decades, if a woman wanted to establish medically the existence of a maka, then you'd have to go to a trained, go to a physician, and the physician would do an examination and determine whether a maka exists. There's been a movement of the last few decades, and much more so in recent years, towards training women that are referred to as bodkot tahara, who are women with medical background, like nurses, not necessarily practicing physicians, who are trained in administering the kind of examination that would be necessary to determine whether there is a maka. I'll just summarize some of what they write in Sefer Pua. This is Volume 1, Perek Yud Zayin, just as far as the background of creating this new track for such examinations. So he writes that over the years, if a rabbi had such a question, whether there's a maka, he'd refer the woman to a gynecologist in order to get information about where the blood is coming from. That, number one, could create certain practical and halachic problems. Number one, usually the gynecologist, more often than not, was male. So aside from the fact that that's a sometimes uncomfortable situation to have an examination done by a male, it's more complicated because maybe the heterim for women to seek medical treatment from a male only applies if it's medically necessary, and here it's not necessarily medically necessary. Maybe this is discretionary. And a woman couldn't necessarily find on short notice a doctor in network, so maybe she'd have to go to a private doctor and pay out of pocket. And the doctor doesn't necessarily always understand the ramifications of the question at hand, and one needs to be checked. After all, damaka, dampesa, these are not medical terms. These are halachic terms. So you have to have a doctor who is sensitive to translating halachic terms into his medical knowledge or vice versa. So the doctor may not be able to respond properly to the questions at hand. So the institution of having a bodkot is something that addressed these concerns. So Rabbi Morgenstern doesn't mention Machon Pua by name, but he's very strongly against his perception of the kind of training that Machon Pua provides. So just read a little bit together of some of Rabbi Morgenstern's points. First, Baofen Klali, and then in terms of training and what kinds of bokot are necessary. I would just say that in practice, I can't speak for Eretz Yisrael, but the best of my knowledge, the use of bokot in America the last 10, 20 years has become a lot more commonplace, both in Hasidic circles and in Litvish circles, and in YU circles. So Rabbi Morgenstern, this is all in Perek Yud Zayin, Tliya B'maka. So he writes, in order to be told in a Maka Metziya Dam, so you have to establish that at the time that the woman saw the Dam, the Maka existed. So in order to do that properly, if, let's say you see Dam on a Bedika and you suspect that there might be a Maka, so you should have it checked out as soon as possible, because you can have a problem both directions. If you're going to wait too long, even if you find a maka, you can't necessarily attribute the dam you saw in your bedika cloth to the maka, because the fact that the maka was there 2 days later doesn't mean it was there when you did the bedika 2 days earlier. And the other direction, so you may find the maka later and you can't necessarily attribute it. And if you wait too long, you may not find a maka that, had you gone right away, you would have found. Because it could work. It could work in both directions, for you or against you, depending on how things play out. But if you don't go right away to the bodeket or to the medical professional, you wait till tomorrow. So tomorrow they may not find anything. But if you went right away, they might find a maka shemutziyada. So that's why it's advisable to have it checked out right away, regardless. Quotes from Rav Yashiv, Funot Yudbeis, that if you find a Maka Motzi Adam within a few hours of the Bedika, Mistaber that you could be Tolev. You don't have to be Choshesh that it suddenly appeared within a couple hours, but Hakol Lefi Inyan, based on the assessment of the Moreh Hara. Then he writes, let's say you do an examination, and it turns out that there's a maka, but it's not a maka hamutzi adam. So, if, in theory, if you could construct a scenario in which the maka now is motzi adam, if you have a maka, you see a maka, there's no track record to establish that it's a maka hayadua shemotzi adam. So he said, in theory, you could maybe orchestrate a situation in which it's going to be motzi adam, and then you could attribute the dam that you just saw on the bedika to this maka. But in practice, he says that's not going to work. Why? So number one, he says, if the bodeka is going to apply more pressure then the woman applies Bishas Bedika. So there's no proof that the amount of pressure that the woman did apply is sufficient to be Motzi Dam. And it could be if the bodeket is going to apply pressure now, so maybe it's going to inflame the maka and make it motzi adam now, but that doesn't mean that it was motzi adam earlier. So in practice, if you see a maka, but the maka isn't actively being motzi adam, it's not a maka yadusha motzi adam, that makes it harder to rely on. He says, what kind of bodeket or what kind of a nurse or doctor can you use for these purposes? So he says that if you're going to rely on a nurse or a doctor, that nurse or doctor has the amanus to say, this is a maka metzi adam, only if the person doing the examination is aware of the consequence of her representation. And she knows that if she's going to give misinformation, then there are severe consequences that could arise from her misinformation. So she has to be aware that the burden of responsibility is upon her. She's not going to give a psak. She's going to give medical information to the posek, but she has to be aware that the posek is going to be relying on her representation of the medical information. So number two, one, it has to be someone who's aware of the consequences of her representation. Number two, you have to have a certain degree of prior medical and professional training to understand the anatomy and understand the presentation. Number three, it has to be a Shomeres Torah Mitzvos. And when it comes to this, there's no Uman Lo Marom Nase per se, because this isn't part of the expectations in the medical field. And even if the woman's a Shomeres Torah Mitzvos, she can have her own hang-ups or opinions. She has to just report the facts. Okay. So in his presentation, the nisbach here that he calls toyot mitsuyot betulia bedamaka michoser bekios o ne'amanos. So he writes, he heard from a doctor, Yirei Shemayim Mumcha Mefursam, in one of the Kehilos HaKodesh B'chutz Laretz, that woman would come with Shailos Vadan Maka. And many times, there's no Maka. Lo and behold, so the doctor would do an examination. Shailos Dan Maka, he says, no Maka. Lo and behold, right afterwards, they would go to a Bodeket. And then the Bodeket would write a letter that she found a Maka. And he said he heard about a Kupat Cholim in Eretz Yisrael, where there were doctors who were trained to check women for makos. And then that Kupat Cholim had to close because it was discovered that the doctors weren't finding as many makos as the nurses were. So the demand for these doctors went down because people were looking for professionals that would find makos. So asked Rabbi Morgenstern, how could this be? The doctor didn't find a maka, but the nurse found a maka. So he points out that part of the problem is that sometimes if the person isn't trained properly, doesn't know what they're doing, or isn't following proper directives, they may create the makos. I mean, if you poke around enough, if there wasn't a maka there before, there'll be a maka now. And he says many people that have that service boat coat think that they're trained not to determine if there's a maka, but to find the maka. And that could lead to many problems. And sometimes they're not properly trained as to what, they may not have the requisite medical background. They're not properly trained to be mafkin between what's a maka and not a maka. So he concludes that in order to train someone to be a bodeket, you have to have, number one, mumchios of a medical nature, including anatomy. Number two, the one mumchias in the anatomy. Number two, mumchias in the internal examinations you're going to do. Number three, someone who's a balas achrayas and understands the consequence of their determinations. So this all seems to be a discomfort or a issues raised with the courses that Machon Pua offers. But if you read through what they write here, and I discuss it with Rabbi Bernstein, Rabbi Bernstein will say that they're 100% agreement with everything Rabbi Morgenstern says, and all their trained people do exactly what Rabbi Morgenstern would want them to do also. The only trained people who have proper credentials, people who are already medically trained as nurses or doctors or somewhere in the medical profession, and people who have the proper Yiras Shamayim to do what's expected of them. If you look on Machon Pua's website, they have a whole list of Vokot all over Eretz Yisrael, and they have they offer they advertise their training courses that they say are only open to doctors or nurses. So if you read Piskei Das and you read Sefer Pua, it sounds like everyone is really saying the same thing. And I think the phenomenon of Bokot probably exists to a larger extent in Eretz Yisrael than here, but there have been significant strides and expansion of people with the proper training in the United States and this area as well, who are equipped to make these determinations and examinations necessary to establish whether there is a maka, and then consult with a posek as appropriate.
Is this like a very common thing? Like, how often is it like a maka that I have to go to?
So there are some women that have perpetual problems. Maybe it's more common if you have someone who's postpartum. So then there are there's more of a tendency that a woman could have as the residual effect of childbirth, certain makos, or if you have a medical procedure that's done that sometimes could cause bleeding, so then that could create what would halachically be a maka as well. So you may have some very small number of women that have chronic conditions, but many women at some point in their years of fertility, either postpartum or due to some procedure, may have or some other medical condition may have a maka. Okay, so we will pick up with Psichas HaKever, Mitzvah Hashem, on Sunday. So the plan, as we had previously discussed,